Good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody has had a good week this past week. I was going to say we got rain this week as if it was news, but I don't think that's news, is it? It's been one of the most pleasant 0.2 inch of rain I believe I've ever seen in my life. It's just amazing how it freshens everything up, including our outlook to a certain degree. Working on our door across the alley had our storm door is real heavy and it's glass, and it just started slamming real quick. And so, being the engineer that I am, I knew that it just had needed that little tension screw adjusted. And so, I didn't have a screwdriver with me, but I saw a little piece of metal about that long and about that wide, just rectangular. And so, I picked it up and started making the adjustment, and it still would slam. And so, I was going to put a little more tension on it. And so as I did, I had to kind of grip that piece of metal that I had a little bit harder. And as you can see there, maybe you can see there's a Band-Aid on my hand because that little piece of metal turned out to be a razor blade. And so anyway, the reason I bring that up is because, as you probably have discerned through the last several years, I'm not always the most attentive person. And maybe that's the reason why every time I go through Scripture, I find something that I have never really thought about before or had noticed before. And it's the same today. As a matter of fact, it's the same just about every week. But if you have your Bibles, turn over to Psalms chapter 15, and we're also going to be in Psalms chapter 23. And oddly enough, it's in Psalms chapter 23 that I came across something that I'd really never thought about, is perhaps not in this way anyway, and again, no doubt because of my lack of attentiveness. In Psalms chapter 15, David asks this question: Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Well, when you look at that, I believe that you can kind of take that from two different perspectives. One is who can be with God now? While we live here on earth, who can be and enjoy His sanctuary and to live with Him? And then the other, of course, is the eternal perspective of who can be in heaven forever. And so David starts going through a list of things, and he starts off by saying, "He whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous." Now think about this walk for a moment. This walk that is supposed to be blameless and is supposed to be righteous is intended and is designed to be not effortless, but to take some work to it. And this is good for us. I don't know about you, but all my life I've kind of complained about going up, whether it's uphill or up a tree or up a ladder. But it dawned on me recently that when you go up, you have control. Well, I don't know how many times I noticed that going up Casper Mountain in the wintertime. When you were going uphill on ice, you could go faster than you could go downhill on ice, because when you go uphill on ice, you have control. All you have to do is take your foot off the accelerator, and it slows down instantly. And if you get a little bit of a slip, again, you can take your foot off that accelerator, and it'll still slow down instantly. But you're going downhill, it's easy to go, but it's not easy to keep control. Because you start getting out of control a little bit, and you sure enough can take your foot off the accelerator, but you put it on the brake, and doesn't it just seem like it speeds up sometimes when you're going downhill on ice? You don't have control. I knew that when I was a little kid from sledding. It was hard to get to the top of the hill. You had to struggle, and you had to fall down, and you had to eat snow, and you had to deal with your older brother. I'm not bitter about that. I'm just giving y'all information. And you finally got up, but you could get up just about every time. You were tired. As a matter of fact, anybody who's ever sledded understands this. If you don't get sweaty when you're sledding, you're not doing it right. Or you live in West Texas where there are no hills. and you're still going to get sweaty because somebody's got to push you just to get that thrill, unless you go over to the overpass like AJ and Ryan used to do. But the point is, you have control going up. But when you start going down, you don't have any control, especially with the sleds and the hills that we had. You are just going. And until you stopped. And it's going downhill that most people get hurt. You hear about people getting injuries sledding all the time, inner tubing all the time. Usually someone my age or a little bit younger, but they get hurt going downhill, not uphill, because of the lack of control. You can't control the speed. When I was a little boy, I could climb up just about any tree, but there were some trees after I got up to the top, I really wished I wasn't up there, because even though it was much less effort to go down, you didn't have the control, and sometimes you went down really fast. Well, the point of all this is when we talk about the one whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous, is sometimes we expect, because we are trying to be righteous, that God is going to make the path easy. But when you think about our service before God, think of it more as an uphill climb. Because as you are climbing uphill, not only are you building muscle, but you are also under more control. You have much greater control as you're going up. But the moment you decide to coast through life, the moment you decide to stop walking in a righteous and a blameless way, you're out of control and you pay for it. We've got a number of law enforcement people here today, and you, I know you all have experienced through the years people who are out of control, and most of them were people who wanted the easy way. They wanted to coast through life. They either wanted an easy high, or they wanted easy money where they thought they could steal it and get it that way, whatever it was. But because they were out of control and could not control themselves, you had to control them. Society had to control them. If we're going to be able to have a successful life and dwell with God now, and even more importantly, dwell with Him for all eternity, our walk is going to have to be blameless. And our life is going to have to be righteous. And that means we're going to be going uphill most of the way. And so it would be good for us to get used to that. But there's something else about that. It is satisfying. Isn't it true when you get to the top of the hill after all that work, the view is just glorious. It's something to behold. You feel like you've accomplished something. That's the way I believe our life before God is. Now, the 23rd Psalm. I think a lot of times we look at the 23rd Psalm as a psalm, rightfully, as a psalm of comfort. But sometimes we think that that comfort means no effort. But that's not true. I believe what the 23rd Psalm shows us, maybe as much as anything, is when we can no longer handle things, God will take care of it for us. But He also expects us to do our part when we are able to do that. This is such a book or a chapter of comfort that most people have memorized it. They've heard it so many times. But look at it. This is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know how many people I've run into in life who've become Christians and they have been surprised when it's hard. They've thought that I shall not want means I shall not work. That's not it. You shall not want means you shall not want the opportunity to work. You shall not want the opportunity to come into contact with the truth. But the truth is, the Christian life, and I realize that David wrote this during a time where Christ had not yet died yet. He was under the law of Moses. The godly life, but for us, the Christian life, is a life where we do not have to worry about not having what we need to serve God. You shall not want. And there's a lot of comfort and there's a lot of peace in that. If you want to get rid of anxiety in your life, this is the place to go. But again, go to it not with an attitude of, I'm standing in a welfare line. Go to it thinking you're standing in an employment line. Because I shall not want means that we won't want the opportunity to work. We'll be able to get that. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There are times that we just have to lay down and relax. Some people have no trouble with that. If you're like me, I can relax on just at the drop of a hat. But we do have to be able to lie down in these green pastures. You think of God as our great shepherd, as Christ, as the good shepherd, and they lead us to these green pastures. We're still going to have to bend our head over and pull the grass up and chew, but they're green, And he leads us there, which means that we have to follow. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I don't know about you, but this may be one of my favorite portions of a verse in all of Scripture. I love still waters. I can remember there was a time in Wyoming where I was probably working about 80 hours a week at Kentucky Fried Chicken when I was during high school or college vacation, and I loved that. I liked to work. But it got to the point where if I was home, my manager would call me and ask me if I'd come into work because he knew I'd do it. And so I would grab my dog and my sleeping bag, and we would go out about 45 minutes outside of Casper, Wyoming, to a place you wouldn't see anybody. But even then, sometimes people would find you. And so I decided one year to go on a week-long vacation, and so I grabbed my dog and my sleeping bag and a tent, and I went to Colorado, to a place between Craig and Rifle, Colorado. There's a place called Cow Creek. There's Cattle Creek runs through it, and it's a wilderness preserve. And I can remember getting on that dirt road and in my little Plymouth Arrow, and the ruts must have been that deep. And so I had to drive on top of the ruts. And I went way back over cattle guards and everything else. And I came to a place called Waterhole Number 19. And I turned off on Waterhole Number 19, and I looked over the edge, and it was just a sheer, well, it wasn't sheer, but it was a steep hill of oil shale. I found that out later when I tried to ring my fire with it. That's another story. But you went down that steep oil shale hill, and at the bottom of it was a place where two little creeks came in, and there was a beaver pond at one of them. Still water. And it was the most gorgeous setting that I, to this day, that I can ever remember. Put my tent just over a little ways from it and camped out right there for a couple of days. And with the exception of a bear or a groundhog, I don't know which, it was a very peaceful time. Still waters. He leads us beside the still waters. May I point out that when we talk about being led somewhere, that means we have to follow. I know that's kind of elementary, but that means somebody is leading. We have to follow God. And sometimes the paths that He takes us onto these still waters are a little bit difficult. They're a little bit bumpy. Guy's class this morning was excellent. If you were there, you got to we talked about contrary winds. And about how sometimes life is not fair and how sometimes life is very difficult. And that's true. But these contrary winds are not bad all the time. And by that, I mean, I can tell you I've driven into a blizzard or two. it sometimes is actually easier to drive into the wind than it is with the wind. And certainly if the wind is going across, that's not easy at all. If it's too snowy, obviously you can't see, but you just have more control even with that than you do sometimes when that wind is pushing you on ice and it just takes you where you want to go, where you don't want to go. This idea of the path it's important. It'll be difficult sometimes, and it won't always seem fair to you, and sometimes it won't be fair because this isn't heaven yet. But He will lead us to still waters, not just in eternity, but right now. We can have that. Matter of fact, isn't that what we get a lot when we gather together to worship? You have that peace and that stillness. I love the communion where we just get to stop and remember what we're here for a few minutes and remember the price that our sins cost Jesus. And just be still for a while. He leads us beside still waters. He restores my soul. Your soul ever need restoring? Because mine does. It's an incredible thing God does for us. Again, He leads me in paths of righteousness. This idea that He's taking us on a path and He's leading us. How many times have you heard people talk about how difficult the Bible is or how challenging it is and how you just don't think that you could ever understand it? Well, when you get a map and you use a map for the first time, isn't it sometimes a little bit unfamiliar? But the more you look at that map, the more you recognize places that you want to go to. And after a while, with continual use of that map, you know it, like you do the back of your hand, and it becomes very easy. This which was unfamiliar at first, and which you thought was just a bunch of gobbledygook, now will take you somewhere. Well, he leads us in paths of righteousness. He gives us a map. And it's not just that. Have you ever been so lost that somebody just, when they were giving you directions, they saw by the vacant look in your eyes that you just weren't going to get that, and they said, look, I will get in my car and you follow me. And it is just really nice to be able to follow somebody that knew where they were going. And if you were pressed for time, it was really nice to follow somebody who lived there where you were going, because they would know the shortest way. And all you had to do is get in your car and follow them. You had to keep up. You had to be attentive, but you could do that. Have you ever thought about that with God? There's a point about this that I think is so critical, and it was so obvious when I started thinking about it, and I never thought about it before in 57 years. But we are following God. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He does that for His glory. He does that because we're serving Him. He is not doing that to try and glorify us, but He loves us. But it's for His name's sake that we have this opportunity to follow Him in these paths of righteousness. In chapter 15, where He said, who may live in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill? And He starts off by saying, he whose walk is blameless. He's talking about the way we live our life. He's talking about staying on the path. And sometimes that's not always easy. In verse 4, David points this out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You will find at times when you are trying to be righteous, when you are trying to walk on the path of righteousness, that sometimes evil or darkness will encroach upon that path. And it's a little scary because the darkness looks really close and you wonder if you can make it. And some people, quite frankly, just flat out give up. They're over on this hill right here and the valley looks a little bit scary, but the place they're going over here is a shining city on a hill, but they don't want to go through the valley because it looks scary. And David is saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is something about having God with us that gives us courage, that gives us confidence, that gives us the ability to keep on going. And then he says this, for you are with me. There are some of you guys here that if I was going into trouble, I'd like to have you with me. For one thing, you can handle yourself. For another thing, I might be faster than you. But it's just nice to have somebody who is prepared for trouble to be with you, because then you don't worry so much. We get to walk with God. He can take care of anything, even the valley of the shadow of death. And then he says this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod is an irritation to a goat. And the reason is, from what I understand, sheep herd and goats scatter. And goats like the scattering. They go to where they want to go. They go to where it seems the easiest. But the sheep will follow the leader. And that rod and that staff, which the goats find very constricting and very maybe unfair, I don't know, the sheep find comforting because it helps to kind of nudge him back in the way. I think that's part of what he's telling us here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One beautiful part about Christianity is people can see that it's a good life. And even though we don't feel a particular enmity towards people, there are enemies of the cross. And it's good for those enemies of the cross to see those who are following Christ to have a feast. Not a selfish feast, but to be doing well. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. There's a lot of lessons in that, but we'll go on. My cup runs over. I'll tell you this. 57 years old, and my cup has run over my entire life. And it has been because of my association with righteous people, but even more so, it's been because the times when I try to follow God, the blessing just flows so much that your cup runs over. You have more than enough. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy are on that path. And so when you're on that path, you're on the path of goodness and mercy. If you want goodness and mercy, the only place it's found is on that path. And he says, they'll follow him all the days of my life. And this is the part that I wanted to get to. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we started off with chapter 15 saying, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless. And then in chapter 23, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? And the answer is because he has led us. He's led us in paths of righteousness. And the path that God is leading us on leads to his house. And when I was thinking about that, that was such a stunning epiphany to me that I had to think again. This is obvious. I realize that. You've probably thought about it all your life. But to me, it was just stunning. The reason that we're going to heaven is because we're on the path right now, and that path leads to his house. And he's in front of us, showing us the way. It's the only place that that path can take us. There are far too many people who are just absolutely deathly concerned about going to hell because they don't trust God. Now, there's a number who are concerned about going to hell because they're not on the path. You need to be worried when you're not on the path. I've been not on the path a lot of times in my life, and those were the times I needed to have the most angst. That was a good thing, not a bad thing. But if you're on the path, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, that path leads to God's house. And he knows how to get there because that's where he lives. And that's one of the most wonderful things about our service to God and our choosing to follow him. If we'll just do that. The invitation's open this morning. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you'd like to become a Christian today, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?